is taken, is in full section, taken as one. From Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 to 38. Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 to 20. Acts chapter 1, verses 6 to 8. And Romans chapter 10, verses 11 to 15. The workers are few. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowd, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age." When they gathered around him and asked him, "Lord, are you at this time going to restore the kingdom to Israel?" He said to them, "It is not for you to know the times or date the Father has set by his own authority. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witness in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth." As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed? And how can they believe in the one of whom they have not heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, "How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Here ends the reading.
Good morning to all of you. Thank you for inviting me this morning here to share God's word with you. Just a quick introduction about how we know Pastor Thomas. We studied together in Singapore at Singapore Bible College. I was his senior, and my wife and him was more or less the same year. And we also have been serving in different churches in Singapore. And we're so glad to see that God calls him here to Australia to serve as missionaries as well in the pastoral capacity. Well, today my topic is given to me for this as a passion for mission. And I'm glad your church still believes in mission work and encouraging people to go for evangelism and mission work overseas as well. Now, when Jesus gave this command in Matthew 28 to go out into all the world and preach the gospel, this is called, like most Bible commentators would entitle it, the Great Commission. The Great Commission. But Jesus gave this Great Commission to his disciples and down the years of the churches to up to today, the command to go out and make disciples is still holds truth to all of us. And it is God's command to spread the gospel, new message, to all people who need to be saved. And you and I, whether we're young or old, it is our responsibility. But Jesus also said this, don't be afraid. All authority has been given to me, and I'm authorizing each one of you to go forth and spread the gospel. And Jesus also said that, look, you're not alone. I am with you. I am with you every moment, in every situation, until the end of the age. Wow. What an assurance. Okay, let me just bring you back to your experience days of witnessing and evangelism. Can you remember the first person you brought to the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you remember the joy to see that person opening the heart to the Lord and say, yes, Jesus, I need you, I believe. You see, witnessing and presenting the gospel, and when the person feels, see the light of God and see the truth of the gospel and the need for Jesus to touch and change his life, that transformed the person. And when you see a person transform, a drug addict suddenly gone. Drug habit gone. No desire for drugs. He is clean, like a leprosy, a leper. When Jesus touched a person, he's made clean. That is fantastic. And this is where we need to remember that gospel preaching, evangelism, and going out on mission still has its importance in our lives as individual and as a church. Warren Wiersbe says this in his comments on Matthew 28. Christianity is a missionary faith. The very nature of God demands this. For God is love, and God is not willing that any should perish, 2 Peter 3:9. Our Lord's death on the cross was for the whole world. I repeat, Christianity is a missionary faith. And it's the very nature of God that demands this, that none of the people who are seeking for God will perish. So, brothers and sisters, you talk about pensions. Do you believe in Matthew 28:18-20? Do you believe that you are being commissioned by God to be his witnesses today? Yes, you may be older, you may be young, or you may be, whatever age you are. But wherever you go, there are people who are ready to listen to the gospel. Now let's look at Jesus. Jesus' ministry, as we read in Matthew chapter 9, verse 35 and 38. Thank the brother for reading that to us. You notice that Jesus demonstrated to us how he went about serving the Lord in his gospel ministry. Firstly, Jesus reached out to the people in their places. He went out to them, village after village, big or small, he went to them. And as he goes to these places, he teaches the word of God. He encouraged the people to listen to what the message of God is. And when the sick and the disease and the demonic comes to him, Jesus took time off from his preaching and went to them and ministered to their physical need. He touched them. He healed them. He made them see. And he delivered the demonic out of the bondage of darkness. That is ministry. That is service. Jesus does not look around for people to whether there are enough people to see him doing miracles. He doesn't care. He wants to serve God the Father and glorify him. And that should be our desire. When you have a passion for people, do you also have this compassion? And this is what Jesus did. When he looked up, he saw these people, so many of them. Bam. His heart beat. He said, wow. They are like sheep without a shepherd. Lost sheep scattered around. They need leadership. They need someone to care for them. That is compassion. When we go out to witness for the Lord, when we work in our offices, when we go to our neighborhood, when we go to our schools, wherever you go, when you see people in need, do we just walk by like the high priest who don't care about the man on the road or the Levite who walk by? Let us learn to be a good Samaritan. Reach out to them and help them. That's what Jesus did. And then, you know what Jesus did also? Jesus told his disciples, look at the, lift up your eyes. Lift up your head and see the harvest. You see a picture there? There's only one guy harvesting a big field. I think it's rice. But where are the workers? You know, you're taking many days to harvest the whole field. If the rain comes, the crop will be destroyed. But what Jesus is saying is this. The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. And Jesus told his disciples, I need you to pray. Pray that the Lord of harvest will raise up more of you people to follow me, to go out in the harvest field. You know, after this incident in Matthew chapter 9, Jesus sent out the disciples two by two to give them some experience of doing evangelism as well as helping people. Now, Jesus asks us today to pray. We need to believe that the Holy Spirit can speak to some of you today in this church, just as in another church, to be a brave and courageous and compassionate people to go out to serve the Lord. Now, my next point is that Jesus has commissioned his disciples in the early church to go out to be his witnesses. Our brother read also Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You see, the Holy Spirit is the Lord of harvest. The Holy Spirit plays a very important part in evangelism work. He plays a very important part in disciple-making work. Indeed, the Holy Spirit is also very important, plays an important part in doing what we call organizing mission work. And Jesus said this to the disciples. You and I need the power of the Holy Spirit. You and I should not do spiritual work with human strength. You need the power of the Holy Spirit to fight against the forces of darkness, Satan, demonic, and the atheists and so on in the society who hate the Bible, who hate God, who hate the church. But these are the people that we are meeting. And therefore, with the power of the Holy Spirit, which God has given to us, we can confront these people and score the victory. The victory has already been won by Jesus on the cross. You and I must experience the power of the risen Christ to go out with the gospel and break down the walls of sin, the walls of deceit, take away the blindness of falsehood, false religion that have been entrapped these people. Yes, the Holy Spirit is there to us. And when the Holy Spirit sees that the church is too comfortable, we just talk to our people here in our area, in our sub-neighborhood. In Antioch, the Holy Spirit says, give me Paul, give me Barnabas. I want them to go out of Antioch into the Mediterranean Sea to be my missionaries in another land. Wow. God may be calling some of you today to be missionaries, to leave your comfortable position. When God calls, God will provide. When my dear wife and I came over here, we don't have much financial support. But we believe when God calls, God will provide. And up to today, God does provide us. We have not a day that we go hungry without bread on the table. God is faithful. And here Jesus said this to us, that when the Holy Spirit calls you, you cannot say no. When the Holy Spirit calls you, it means that God wants you. Think of Jonah. What happened to Jonah? God cannot be. Nineveh. These are the rotten people there who bully our nation. You want me to go and tell them God loves you, God forgives you? He cannot be. And what did Jonah do? He ran the opposite direction. Well, did he run far from God? No, he landed up in the stomach of a fish. And God got to pull him out from the fish stomach and say, okay, Jonah, you have your break. It's time for you to go. Brothers and sisters, when God calls you, you cannot say no. You go. All right, now next question we ask ourselves is this. How ready are you to serve the Lord in mission today? Come to the practical question. How ready are you to serve? Well, I have three pictures here. First, be a prayer partner. That's easy. Lord, bless all the missionaries. Lord, bless all the evangelists. This type of prayer, tak jalan. In Malay, it says, no go. When you be a prayer partner, make sure you pray specifically for that person, for that missionary, for that project. Apostle Paul says this, pray for me that I have an open path to present the gospel to the people. Pray for me that Satan blockages, obstacles along the road will be removed. Pray for me as I preach the gospel that the light of God will fall upon the people, that the darkness will be disappear and the people will hear and believe. That is how we should pray. Like today, there are many mission groups, organizations, have prayer diaries, prayer calendar. You pray each day for certain people, certain missionaries. We were serving with GLO Ministries in Australia, and every day we have prayer items of workers and national workers all over the world that GLO Ministries has been involved. Now, you can do that too. OMF have this, your Baptist mission also have prayer calendars. Get these prayer calendars and in your home group, cell group, pray for them. And as you be a prayer partner, you can also make correspondence with the missionaries that you work with. Secondly, encourage one another to support mission. I'm glad to hear that you have small groups or home groups. Now we need to encourage one another to really serve the Lord and then help others in the Lord. You know, in the Brethren, I come from the Brethren, Christian Brethren group, there's a group of ladies in Tasmania who meet regularly to do knitting. And you know, ladies are very, the Australian ladies in Tasmania are very good for knitting. And they knit a lot of things and they send it overseas for missionaries, kids, people, and so on. Well, you and I can encourage one another to do projects for Christian workers who are in need. Sometimes Christian workers like ourselves, we don't put on the papers, this is my wants list. Please pray that God will supply this. But when I give you my wants list and ask you to pray, I'm telling you this, can you please give me this item, that item, and so on. Now, we don't sort of publicize our need. We go by faith. Christian workers who serve in the mission field goes by faith. And when we go by faith, we believe when I pray, God speaks to you in the church. And God will move your heart to not only put money in the offering bag, but will move your heart to do something to help me over there. And here we see that we need to encourage one another. You know, sometimes we can be sluggish in our faith. I have met people who say, you know, I don't know what to do with my money. Wow, I say, you don't know what to do with your money? Let me sit down with you and tell you how you can use money. Now, I don't mean this as a joke, but I really met people in Singapore who come up to me and tell me this. You know, the Bible says this in Matthew chapter 6. Those of you who the Lord bless with wealth, with good income, make sure you give some money more than your tithe and generously to support. Now, the next thing you and I can do as serving the Lord is volunteer. Volunteer yourself to do practical work with missionary people overseas or join a short-term mission. Have you heard of short-term mission? A lot of Christian organizations have short-term mission to encourage the church, young people especially, or even middle age especially, to go out and get experience in mission work. And this is very important. My wife and I, when in Singapore, we have been leading short-term mission team all over Malaysia, Indonesia. We didn't get far to Thailand, but almost every place in Malaysia. And it's from there we find that our young people today caught the vision of mission. When we were in GLO, we went with a mission team to Philippines, to China, to India. And many of them caught the vision. And some of them, in later years, became missionaries. You see, you talk about passion for mission. It's commitment to Matthew 28, the Great Commission. Passion for mission means, yes, Lord, I hear you calling, send me. Be like Isaiah. Lastly, give generously. Well, the picture doesn't talk about Australian dollars or American dollars. It's euros because this is what I can find. But here God is saying this. You can give generously to support mission projects. There is many mission projects that keeps going on, and we need Christian people like yourselves here who cannot go. But you can do support for mission projects. So find out where you can do, make good use of the money. And you know what? The Lord says this: whatever you do, I will not forget. A cup of water you give to the thirsty one. A piece of clothing you give to those who are cold and needy. God said, I will not forget. So even a dollar or whatever money you put, you give to support mission, the Lord said, I will not forget. The Lord will bless you in different ways. I'm not preaching prosperity theology, okay? But the Lord, I'm saying, God is faithful. He does not forget you. Well, in closing, what can I say? Let me just repeat what Apostle Paul says. Apostle Paul in Romans 10 says this: people need to hear the gospel. So, how can you hear the gospel? Well, someone must go and tell them. Okay, logical. But who's going to tell them? Oh, that person, that sister, that brother. Good. But how can this brother and sister go and tell them the gospel over there? Then they must be sent. And who will send them? The church of God. The church of God will send out these people like Paul and Barnabas out to the mission field. Now, this call for passion for mission, involvement. You and I, who are in the leadership, or if you are in the older generation, you can get involved with the lives of these younger ones who say, I want to go and serve the Lord. Please send me. Give them your support. So, that is passion. And Jesus is saying this to us today, that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. And Paul also says this: everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. Everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord, whether you are Greek or whether you are Jew or whether you are slave or you are Roman, whether you are educated or uneducated, illiterate or professor, whatever you are, if you call upon the name of the Lord because you realize you are a sinner, you will be saved for eternity. There is no hellfire for you. There is no judgment of sin for you. You will be saved. Well, there are many people today, both young and old, who have not heard the gospel message of Jesus Christ. They need to be told the truth. I'm so happy to see my godson, Matthew, came to know the Lord at a very young age, 5 years old. I say, are you sure? Yes, Papa, I believe in Jesus. And he grew up. I gave him the Bible. He reads the Bible. And his faith in Christ grows strong. What a joy to see this young fella trusting the Lord. And then, when he was 10 years old, he tells his mother, Mom, I want to get baptized. Mom says, huh? Do you know what's baptism? Yes, Mom, I want to follow Jesus. I want to be baptized. And it was a joy for me to go down to the church in the city to see him get baptized, my godson. A disciple of Jesus at such a young age. Wow, that is a joy. So brothers and sisters, children, young people can take this step. Even the older one can also do the same. So Jesus said this to us, that we should never minimize the missionary outreach of the church. And God says this to us. God will call some of us to be his messenger to go out among the sinners in our society. There are some who are seeking for God. And God is saying this to you. You may be in a secular job. That's good. Because you can reach the students in your school. You may be a doctor or a nurse in a hospital. It's good. You can reach the people there. Your pastor cannot go in the hospital and go to every bed to comfort people or tell them people about God and his word. No, you can. You are a witness and worker for the Lord in every place where you work. Always remember this. Jesus said, you are the light of the world. As light of the world, you shine. You don't cover yourself with, but you shine for the Lord Jesus. Well, in closing, this is what he said. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. All right. About these slides. You know, today, to go into a country as missionaries, the most effective way to enter into the country is what is written on the first part of the slides. Christian with special skill, medical profession, trained educators, engineers, builders, or any other skills you have, like farming, you know. It's easy for you to get admittance into the country and to work there for the Lord. You don't go there under the pretense, but you go there really as a job. And in your free time, you share the gospel. I got a friend. They finished their training in Moody Bible College in Chicago. And there was a call for them to go to Yunnan to start an olive plantation. A group of Christian people in Singapore invested millions of dollars to start an olive plantation. And they went. And guess what? They were working with the Lisu tribe. And while working with the Lisu tribe, the workers there, they managed to witness to them and started a Bible study group among them. And one of the Lisu convert today became a church worker among their people. Brothers and sisters, that is mission in a secular way. But for missionaries like me to go into the country with the Bible, they say, brothers, go back home. You are not wanted. Because we are threat to them. But thank God, basically, we have some skill too. But then, we don't use our skill after so many years. So today, we close in this way to say that the harvest is plentiful, but the laborers are few. Will you pray? And when God called you, will you go? John 3:16 is still the same message. Paul says this, the gospel of Jesus Christ is still the power of God to save sinners. Amen to that. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word today. Thank you for refreshing us on calling your dear Son, our Lord Jesus, to carry his gospel mission on earth. We know you are concerned for the lost souls. And you have commanded your church to carry out his mission. So we would hear and obey your command today. Help us to keep a clear vision of the ready harvest field and cooperate with the Holy Spirit to bring in the lost seekers into your kingdom today. For some of us, we ask for your forgiveness for losing this conviction of your calling to do the gospel mission. Please restore this passion in our hearts today and keep this fire burning till our Lord Jesus returns. We offer this prayer in the name of our blessed Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Thank you. I'll pass over to Jonathan.